It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, the right advice at the right time, and Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins in the studio. Good day, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Ben.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Ben, Wes, and I were in the reception area out there talking about what we were going to discuss this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, the word and the legal concept, quantum merit. And that's quantum, mm-hmm. Q-U-A-T-U-M, correct, Wes?
There's an N in there.
There's an N. Okay. Q-U-A-N.
That's right. Q-U-A-N-T-U-M.
Right.
And then merit is
M-E-R-U-I-T. It's just Latin.
That's right.
Correct. And this is a concept that we're going to, as we discuss, demystify this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It does reach and touch many different cases from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And quantum merit basically is a case based on services rendered, something earned, if you will.
Right.
And it is a common law
mm-hmm.
concept. It usually does not arise by contract or by writing. It arises out of factual scenarios,
mm-hmm.
which always makes these cases very interesting because there isn't, if you will, you know, a contract with arbitration provisions or attorney fee reimbursement provisions
mm-hmm.
or any kind of contract provision. It is based on our common law. And so from there, let's discuss some of the ways that this cause of action accrues and how we see it from time to time in our office with our clients.
Okay. All right. Give us a case study.
You know, and it often comes under the description of quasi-contract
mm-hmm.
or implied contract, because normally if you're going to provide services for someone,
mm-hmm.
then you normally are going to have at least an agreement, you know, regarding those services and usually what you're going to be compensated.
Right. Right.
But that doesn't always happen. I mean, sometimes, you know, there is some conversation about what you're going to be paid.
Right.
What consideration you're going to get for doing this. But then in the event there's not a meeting of the minds with regard to that, then at the end of the day, if the party who's provided the services, isn't compensated what they were maybe promised verbally
mm-hmm.
or, it wasn't really expressly talked about, then you really don't have a claim so much in contract.
Right.
It's more of an implied contract theory.
Right.
So this kind of falls under implied contract, quantum merit, unjust enrichment,
mm-hmm.
you know, these kind of things. And
well, give us an example of how right. this might apply.
Well, let me give you a law school simple example.
Okay.
And then we'll go into a more real world what we see
yeah.
example. Let's say you go in and get your hair cut. You sit down in the barbershop chair mm-hmm. and he cuts your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's entitled to something, but there was never any conversation before that
right.
about what he was to be paid. So the claim, not that there would be a claim because we're talking about not much money here, but
right.
just in general, the claim would be the barber would say, well, I'm entitled to, you know, my $15 or whatever mm-hmm. it is, which is my standard charge.
Mm-hmm.
And then the claim would be an implied contract claim because certainly I provided the service.
Yeah.
You got to pay me sort.
You obviously knew you were walking into a barbershop. And,
yeah, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Now, real world example that Cecil and I see all the time. Let me give you kind of two.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, in general, when we're bringing a lawsuit under a contract, but we believe that that contract may have some issues.
Mm-hmm.
We think that there's a possibility that that contract might not survive this lawsuit. There might be a problem with the meeting of the minds. There mm-hmm. might be a problem with the formalities of the document itself. There might not be a document. Because
mm-hmm.
you don't always have to have a written agreement in North Carolina to have a contract. There might be problems with consideration to support this contract. Well, we are then going to bring the lawsuit if it's a contract-based type case.
Mm-hmm.
One of the claims is going to be breach of contract. And then in the alternative, we're going to bring a claim for implied contract, which will be like a quantum merit claim, unjust enrichment claim, which would be, okay, even in the event that our contract does not survive the scrutiny of the court, of the law, and therefore that claim falls aside, well, we still have our claims for unjust enrichment. We still have our claims for quantum merit because we did the work.
Yeah, there was work done.
That's
it's
right.
obvious that it was done.
That's right. So that's one, you know, kind of general way that we use it. Now, we sometimes see this in situations where we have maybe a caregiver of some sort, someone who is taking care of someone. Maybe they're taking care of an elderly person. And maybe the elderly person, there's some conversation about, well, you've been so good to me. You know, you've taken care of me. I want you to have my house when I pass away. I want you to be compensated for this. I'm going to take care of you. Okay.
That's the famous phrase.
That's right.
Yeah.
So then there's potentially a claim for quantum merit, value of services. You know, I did not care for this person who was very ill and needed all these services for 3 years for nothing, you know, or for, you know, even a shorter period of time for nothing. There was an agreement that I would be compensated for that. Now, that gets to be a little more difficult if we're talking about after the person died, because when we get in, we get into all kind of issues about evidentiary issues, these kind of things. So a lot of times we see that in the context of maybe the girlfriend, boyfriend that are older in age that never got married.
Right.
But then you get into
the issue.
Like
a palimony sort of issue.
That's exactly right. Then you get into the issue of, well, there's a presumption in the law in North Carolina that if you are in a relationship such as that, girlfriend, boyfriend, for example, and by the way, it's usually the girlfriend taking care of the boyfriend. If that's the case, there's a presumption that those services were provided gratuitously. Okay. Because it was based on love and affection, not because you thought you were going to get something.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
However, you can rebut that presumption with evidence that there was actually an agreement or there was actually conversation about what you were supposed to get.
I'm going to take care of you.
That's right.
Agreement.
Now, you kind of counterbalance that type of situation with if we have a girlfriend, boyfriend type situation, you know, obviously this girlfriend, in the event the boyfriend dies, doesn't have all those rights of a spouse, doesn't have the right to the elective share, doesn't have the right to claim a spousal allowance. All the things that the law guarantees for the surviving spouse, you don't have that. You really don't have much of anything unless there would be, you know, a quantum merit type claim, value of services, you know, something like that. So we see that sometimes. It gets to be it's kind of dangerous, you know, if you think, okay, we're going to be together, girlfriend, boyfriend, he's going to take care of me forever, or you know, I don't want to be presumptive here, but I mean, that's normally the way it works.
Yeah. And she's putting him through law school.
And then he, and then he passes away. And then my goodness, she's got 20 years to live or longer and nothing.
Right.
And nothing. So
Ben, are we going to break right now or do we have a minute?
We have a minute.
Okay. Just to kind of nail this a bit. Absolutely, Ben. We see a lot of this. And just to be clear, to our listeners, North Carolina does not recognize common law marriage. Let's just be clear here. Okay. You can be in a relationship with a gentleman for years and years and years and years. Okay. But if you are not married, then upon the death of your, you know, boyfriend, Katie barred the door.
Right.
I mean, as Wes just explained, there are no rights. You are not married. And North Carolina does not have any law or any case law to the effect that because you were in a relationship, you shared an abode, you shared in the utilities, the food making, the cooking, the cleaning, the yard doing, that therefore this was a relationship, and as a result of this relationship, mm-hmm. there accrues certain rights. Now, there are states that do recognize this kind of marriage.
Right.
Okay, but North Carolina is not one of them. So therefore, it is not uncommon at all that we receive, that we have consultations with, and Wes is correct, we'll talk with the men just as much as we'll talk with mm-hmm. the ladies, but mm-hmm. generally it is usually mm-hmm. an older lady, mm-hmm. You know, who has provided care, support for a gentleman, for her partner, if
right.
you will, for many, many years. Okay? I mean, we see a lot of this, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
They did not get married. They lived together. And they shared in all of the expenses.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, now he dies. Sometimes these people are even estranged. It's interesting, you know, the gentleman from
right.
his family.
Right.
Okay. Maybe he doesn't even have a son or a daughter. And his heirs are heirs at law. They're nieces, nephews,
mm-hmm.
you know, people that are remote from him, people that are not even, that he did not even know. And these folks are the ones who have the legal entitlement to his estate versus this lady, this caregiver who was with him for many, many, many
right,
years.
Right. It makes for, again, a very, very sticky situation legally, and we'll have more on that coming up in a moment here on a Coastal Daybreak and Let's Talk Legal. If you would like to call in with a question, you can do so now.
Call me at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station FM 107 and AM 1240 and the regional discussion over quantum merit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ben, as we're discussing here, mm-hmm. The next logical question is, well, Mr. Collins and Mr. Harvell, what do you do about this?
Mm-hmm.
What if I am in one of these relationships where mm-hmm. I am, you know, taking care of someone, or I am just in a relationship,
right?
And we are sharing our expenses, and mm-hmm. And if God forbid something happens to this mate,
mm-hmm.
You know, then here I am. You know, this is my home. I have my furniture here. I'm paying the utilities here. I've taken care of this. I'm the one who put up the curtains and the drapes, and
right.
you know this is my home. And now all of a sudden I'm having to get out of this home because it happened to be titled in my, you know, boyfriend's name.
Mm-hmm.
And he now has died. And there I am as the girlfriend. So there are lots of ways to tackle this.
Mm-hmm.
One, of course, is that just to tell our listeners and to be very, again, very upfront, you know, Ben, there's no expectation of inheritance in the state of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
You can disinherit your children. You can disinherit your grandchildren, your brothers, your sisters, your nieces, your nephews.
Mm-hmm.
This person could write a will, a last will and testament, and say that I hereby declare that as to this particular home place located at such and such address, that this is to pass to, you know, Mary Jane upon my death. If she's
right,
living.
Right.
This can be done even though this person has children, even though they have grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
The will, in my opinion, as a practicing lawyer, should address that there are maybe in an imprimis or a background statement that there are children, that there mm-hmm. are grandchildren, and that notwithstanding the fact that there are children and grandchildren, I hereby declare that this is my last will and testament.
Right.
most clients come in and say when they're going to disinherit a child, I understand I have to give them $10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wes and I hear that every day. You know, I understand I have to give them something, a dollar,
right.
$10.
Right.
Well, basically, that's the concept of the fact that you want the document to acknowledge that they exist,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to necessarily give them $10. You just want a document that acknowledges that they exist and then states clearly that notwithstanding their life. Their relationship to me, I hereby declare my last will and testament as follows. So a last will and testament would certainly be the first line of attack.
Mm-hmm.
there can also be a joint deed established.
Right. Right.
This we're picking on the men today, but let's say it's the elder lady, and she's the one who owns the home and has mm-hmm. been living with the elder gentleman for 20 years, and he doesn't have title to the house. And now she, of course, dies. Well, you know, if she had gone in and had the house retitled joint mm-hmm. with her, you know, companion.
Yes.
Then the house could likely, if the language were correct in the deed, which it can be, would then pass to the elder gentleman,
mm-hmm.
and he would not be booted out of his home. She could also give him a life estate in the home,
mm-hmm.
okay, either through deed or either through the will.
Which would maintain
the status quo, if you will. Status quo is a very interesting concept in these factual scenarios, because that's exactly mm-hmm. been what happens. You know, being a lawyer is a wonderful thing, fascinating, such involvement with human,
mm-hmm.
human beings, human behavior. And you know, this is what happens. People develop a relationship. It's 1 year. It's 5 years. It's 7 years. It's 10 years. It's
right.
12 years.
Right.
We're in the status quo, and they are going to get around to doing this planning, or they avoid it because there's contentment there. There's
mm-hmm.
consortium. There's love, affection. Okay. And they don't get around to necessarily getting, you know, these legal documents prepared. And
mm-hmm.
so then here we are, at a situation, well, you know, you always hear this. Well, we were intending to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew that the house was going to go to me. We discussed it many times. Even the child who lives out in Iowa knows that, you know, that the house was going to go to me. You know, I just put in the new washer and dryer in the house about 6 months ago,
yeah, right.
you know, from Lowe's.
Mm-hmm.
These are the standard kinds of things that we hear. And of course, what has happened is that the parties have fallen into, you know, a relationship, a good relationship many times, and the status quo is there,
mm-hmm.
and they do not necessarily put these kinds of things in writing, either through a will or a deed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there also, of course, are personal assets, you know,
right.
you know,
right.
stocks, bonds, the bank account.
Yeah. But all those can be handled, right?
They can be. And interestingly, with regard to bank accounts and sometimes a CD
mm-hmm.
Or even life insurance, we do see mm-hmm. where there has been some forward activity.
All right. Well, there's more to come in a moment on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Hey, welcome back here on the Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240, and with Let's Talk Legal and talking about quantum merit that got us into this.
Right. Cecil was just talking about the different options as mm-hmm. far as, you know, the long-term girlfriend-boyfriend relationship, and in the event that one of them passes away, you really don't have any legal rights. But
right.
usually it's the intent of, you know, the deceased to make sure that the survivor, you know, has a consistent quality of life,
mm-hmm.
provides for them in some way, maybe the home, maybe some money, something like that. But if that's not taken care of during the lifetime, then it puts that surviving girlfriend or boyfriend in a precarious and difficult legal
sure.
situation.
Yeah.
So we were talking about quantum merit, value of services rendered, that type of thing, which does apply sometimes in these cases. And Cecil indicated that, you know, two of the ways to address that would be basically, you know, have a will done to address what you want to happen
mm-hmm.
to your assets and to provide for this particular surviving girlfriend in most cases. That would be one way to do it. Or, you know, you could certainly prepare a deed of some sort, whether it's conveying the property by, you know, a joint with right of survivorship mm-hmm. or a life estate or whatever that might be. Now, when we contrast those two, as folks know from listening to this program, you know, if you look at the will side of it, you do a will as opposed to a deed. Well, the will can be changed at any point in time, of course.
Right.
And
right.
without letting anybody know. Mm-hmm. You just change your will, circumstances change, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. And the other thing about the will, it does not become public record.
Mm-hmm.
So no one, including this girlfriend in the scenario we're talking about, needs to know what you've done in that will. You can just make sure that it's taken care of so
right.
she's not left destitute upon your passing.
Mm-hmm.
Now you contrast that with a deed. Well, the deed, number one, it does become public record because mm-hmm. it will be recorded in the courthouse and the
sure.
register of deeds where that particular piece of property is located. So anyone could go in and see whether that was done or not,
mm-hmm.
you know. And also, it cannot unilaterally be changed,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the event you give, for example, the girlfriend a life estate or you put her on the deed joint with right of survivorship. You can't just go take that away without her signature
you
on
split
that.
Split up. And then,
that's right.
Yeah.
So generally, as Cecil indicated, you know, the first choice would be to do this through a will.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it could be changed at any point in time in the event the circumstances change. Girlfriend boyfriend relationship can end very quickly in the law.
Right.
Anybody can just walk out.
Right.
If you're married, the law doesn't allow you to just walk out.
That's right.
You have to have, you know, a year separation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have, there's a certain showing that you have to make in court in order to get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
There's a waiting period. You have to live separate and apart. So, you know, it's probably, I would say, important to do this through a will as opposed mm-hmm. to a deed because those circumstances might change.
Yeah. And again, this is another reason why we're talking about elderly couples, but another reason why younger couples who are choosing not to get married.
Right.
Won't discuss the merits of that, but it's still a will is going to be important.
That's right.
Very much so.
And this conversation just goes on and on and on because, mm-hmm. you know, the older couple, mm-hmm. they might not want to get married because in the event that either one of them ends up having to go to a long-term care facility,
mm-hmm.
they don't necessarily want the other's assets to be countable mm-hmm. against whether they'd be eligible for any benefits.
Yes.
In the event you're married, they count at all. So there's lots of reasons that people decide not, you know, mm-hmm. to get married.
Right.
But there's a lot of legal issues that need to be addressed there.
And I know we've got to go here in a moment, but we've discussed before the younger couples, you know, buying a lot, signing together on a mortgage,
mm-hmm.
things of this nature. I mean, it's precarious. It needs to be looked at. You
right.
need guidance if you're not married, but yet in a partnership.
You can get that guidance through HarvellandCollins.com or come by for that consultation at 726-9050. Make that appointment at 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City. Again, 252-726-9050. 9050.